Well, again, I give you a very warm welcome to the meeting this evening. I have to share something with you. I really have a burden on my heart as I look around in this world and I see all that is happening. Frequently, it makes me think to myself, how soon is it until the Lord returns? The other day, I was speaking with my neighbor, who is a believer in Jesus Christ, and it seems like, we can start off talking about tomatoes in our garden, and the next thing you know, we're talking about the scriptures, and that's exactly what happened that day. And he said to me, you know, Steve, I'm pretty sure 2027 is the year that the Lord's coming back. I said, hang on, Tim. I said, the Bible says that no man knoweth the day nor the hour. He said, I didn't give you the day or the hour. I just gave you the year. Well, he's got a point there. But what about it? Are you ready to meet the Lord? That's my burden. We're so thankful that many of you are regular attenders to the gospel meeting. We appreciate the fact that you're here. And our sincere hope and prayer is that you'll know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you'll be sure about it. Just as sure that you know your own name. You can have that assurance by trusting Jesus Christ. Let's read a few portions together in the Bible. First one is in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14, and we're going to read verse 12. This verse says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to put a few words in here. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let's turn over a couple pages to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Turn, if you would, please, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I'm just going to read six verses. I just really want to focus in on the last one I'm going to read, but just for context, we'll read these six verses. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, and whither I go, it will say in some Bibles, and where I go you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? I want you to pay very special attention to this verse. Verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. It does not say the ways. There is no plural there. The Lord is extremely clear on this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I trust the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. Let's just pause for a minute and pray. Our Father, we think of these verses that we have read. So important to look into your precious word. And Father, we just pray for help as we explain this. There's only one way to heaven, as found in the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to understand this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If I was to ask you this evening how to get to Pola Park, some of you would say, well, I don't particularly like making left-hand turns onto Portage Avenue when the intersection is not controlled, so I'm not going to go down Portage Avenue. I'm going to drive to Ness, and I can make a right-hand turn, and I can proceed east on Ness to Pola Park. Some of you might say, well, you know, I'm a little adventuresome, and I want to go down the back alleys. And, you know, there's probably more potholes in the streets, but that's okay. I'm a cautious type of person. I'll stop at every street, and you get the point. Many things in life, there is a multitude of ways to accomplish it. When it comes to going to God's heaven and to know your sins forgiven, there's one way. And I want to bring this before you very, very, what's the word? So that there's absolutely no hesitation for you to realize that there is only one way to heaven, and that's found in the person of Jesus Christ. I want to share a story with you. It was published May 11th, 2011. And this is what the headline said. It said, BC woman blames GPS for getting couple lost. This is a true story. I'm going to share it with you. Here's a brief overview. Albert and Rita Krechen were traveling from Penticton, BC to Las Vegas. Sadly, their trip did not turn out as planned. Rita explained that the GPS, for any of you that don't know what GPS is, it's a global positioning system. So they had this GPS in their vehicle, and it sent them in the wrong direction. She said, when they first went off the road, we thought it would be a short road, and we'd be back on the main road right away. The next thing we know, we turned down the wrong road, and we were where we shouldn't be, and it's dark, and we can't find a way to turn around. They became stuck in a very remote place on a snowy, seasonal logging road. What I mean by that is that there would only be traffic on that road in the summertime when they were cutting trees. And this was not the summertime, it was the wintertime. And they could not do anything to help themselves. Albert decided to leave their vehicle and walk, hoping he could get help. One of the things he takes with him is the GPS. He never does find help and never returns to their van. Authorities suggest that the batteries in the GPS failed. 18 months later, his body is found. Although he had walked 17 kilometers, his body was located just 10 kilometers from a town. Unfortunately, he was traveling in the wrong direction and had angled too far north. Rita, his wife, still in the van, waits 7 weeks to be rescued. She spends her time praying and waiting to be rescued. She rations her food, living on trail mix, candy, and drinking melted snow. To them, that was a way that seemed right, but it ended in death. Although I read this story a long time ago, I've never been able to forget about it. It's a sad story. What I'd like to do this evening is use this story in a spiritual way to try and bring the gospel before you. You and I are on a journey. If we were to look on that chart behind us, there's a line there on the extreme left, that solid black line. That suggests our birth date, the time that we are born. And we are traveling. When we are born, we are traveling on that broad road that is leading down to hell and destruction. It does not matter what type of family you were born into. It does not matter what nationality you are. You could be a prince or a pauper. You could be a judge or a janitor. You could be a pediatrician or a politician. It makes no difference before God. Why is that? Because God has declared that all, A-L-L is a very inclusive word, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our journey, our travels, is taking us to one of two eternal destinations. Eternal destination. Did you get that? Eternal. That means it is a destination that will never, ever, ever, ever end. The other day, Dave was speaking, and he said something to the effect of millions and millions of years. Eternal. It'll never end. And that's what we are doing. We are traveling day by day to one of two destinations. Albert and Rita wanted to go to Las Vegas, and they thought that the GPS would take them there. Psalm 18 verse says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Whose confidence is yours in tonight? A man or the man Christ Jesus? The Lord of glory, God's precious Son. I ask you that. You don't have to speak out loud and answer me. In your heart, where's your confidence today? Who's it on? Albert and Rita, sadly, they came to a place that they could not help themselves. You know, as I read about Albert, he packed a little backpack. He took a pad of paper, a pen, a bag of sunflower seeds, and the GPS. And I could just imagine what would that be like. Rita, it's okay. I'll be back. I'll come back with help. We'll get that van pulled out of the mud. And off he went. You know what? They needed someone to come alongside them to get them out of that situation. They needed something powerful to get them out of that muck. A big old tow truck would have done the job, but there was none to be had. You know what? That's just like you and me. We need somebody to come alongside. Somebody to help us. Somebody that's gracious and kind. Who do you think that would be? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We need somebody to bring us out of that pit, the awfulness of sin. And scriptures would clearly teach us that Christ is the foundation that we need. Psalm 40, verse 2, it says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." This is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his incredible grace and love, he wants to pluck us out of that pit that we're in, that mucky, dirty pit that is going to take us to hell. Scripture would clearly teach that he is the rock, the foundation. I was thinking as I was preparing for this of the story in the Gospels of the two men, the wise men and the foolish men, and they wanted to build a house, one built upon the sand. Storms came and boop, gone. but there was one that built on the rock. It stood time. What are you building on today? Are you building on the firm foundation, the rock, which is Jesus Christ? So spiritually speaking, there is nothing we can do to help ourselves. But what we have to do is we have to come to a place where we see ourselves the way God sees us. I was 7 years old when I discovered exactly how God saw me. I was a little wretch, a little sinner on my way to hell. I had the amazing blessing of being raised in a home where my parents were Christians. They read and prayed with us daily. And my mom, on the edge of my bed, she made it pretty clear that Stephen Parker was a little sinner going to hell, and he needed Jesus Christ. And by her love and kindness and tenderness, in the words of John 3:16, she made it abundantly clear that I needed to be saved. What about you? Where do you stand tonight? Are you built on the rock? Is your life built on that rock, a firm foundation that is Jesus Christ? Salvation does not come to us through our efforts. It's all through Jesus Christ. Religion does not save us. Religion has us reaching up to God, always with a big question mark. Have I done enough? Am I doing the right thing? Am I pleasing God? I know that this is true because I've spoken to people who were in a religious system and they never had the assurance of whether or not they were right with God. Get rid of that. We don't need a religion. We need a relationship. And that relationship is with Jesus Christ. The couple in our story thought that they had prepared for their journey. They had loaded up their van and purchased the GPS. They thought that they were on the right road, heading to their chosen destination. But they really, really, really needed to turn around and go in a different direction. This is exactly what you and I have to do. The word is repentance. We are traveling in a certain direction, and we need to come to ourselves and say, whoa, wait a second here. The pathway that I'm taking is taking me to hell. I need to repent. I need to turn away from the ways that I'm going and come to Jesus Christ. Luke 13 says, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Repentance is having a change of heart. It's having a change of attitude. It's changing the way you look at yourself. And you need to see yourself the way God sees you. The core message about repentance is to have a change of heart and turn away from sin. We need to confess to God that we are sinners. Like this couple, though, we get bogged down in our sin and we're unable to change. Sometimes our thinking is even foolish. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Just a minute now, I need to clarify something. When the scriptures is talking about a fool, it is not somebody that has something wrong with their brain, that their brain is not functioning properly. What it means is that they have no consideration for God. They're not even maybe aware of God and God's teachings. They might know God's word, but they say, some other time. So the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel, he that listens to counsel, is wise. The Bible, this precious word of God, is our counsel. And that's why I'm sharing it with you tonight. God's salvation is Jesus Christ extending a loving, nail-pierced hand to us, saying, Simply come to me. Trust in me. I was looking over some notes that I have at home, and I came across an interesting expression. John McCain, many years ago, when he was running in the U.S. presidential election, he said something to the effect, "I've been to war, and I have the scars to prove it." I was thinking, you know what? The Lord Jesus went to war, and he's got the wounds to prove it. And he is the one who is reaching out with that nail-pierced hand. 27 bones in your hand. None of them were broken, but his were pierced. Reaching out his hand and saying, just come. You don't have to do anything. I did it all, and I love you, and I want you to be saved. Just come. It says in John 6, verse 37, him or her that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. God will never, ever refuse a person that is coming to him for salvation. Well, we got to get to John chapter 14. Looking at the time, I think I'm just going to focus in on verse 6. Let's read it again. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This verse makes it clear that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He does not show us a way. He is the way. Salvation, being saved, having our sins forgiven, are all essentially the same thing, and they're all found through faith in Jesus Christ. Simply accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you will have your sins forgiven and be forever in God's prepared place. We read that place, about that place, in verse 3. That prepared place in heaven. Recently, we have spent some time looking at accommodation, because in God's will, we hope to make a trip. And it is amazing what people write when they review their accommodation. One person said, I didn't like the location. Really? Right beside that is a map, and you can actually look at the location where you are. What's my point? There will be no one that will ever say, I don't like the location, because I'm going to a prepared place. God has prepared a place for every believer. Have you done the right preparation, though? The correct preparation? The only preparation that is needed? If you're going to, I don't want to say the U.S., but if you're going to England tonight, you're going to get a ticket for England, and you're going to have your passport, and you probably have to have a visa now, and you're all going to have that put in there, and you go down the airport, here you go, nice, thank you, get on the plane. That's preparation. Well, if you're ever going to be in God's heaven, it's only people that are prepared to go to that prepared place. And think of that location. A place where there is no weeping, no wailing, no gnashing of teeth. That's what hell is all about. It is a place of absolute perfection. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is there. Our Savior. Some people will say, you know, and it's okay to say it. when I get to heaven, I'm going to see so-and-so because I know that they were saved and so on and they went to heaven. Well, maybe you will, but your focus is going to be on one, and that's Jesus Christ. What will that be like to be in that prepared place, to look upon the one who still bears the marks of Calvary, to look on that one and bow down before him and say, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for going to the cross. Are you ready to go to that prepared place? Have you made preparation? Keep your wallet in your pocket. You don't need to sign a card. You don't need to do anything except simply trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, there's some people that will say, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. That's false. I was talking to the neighbor a little while ago, and I gave her a copy of a story of my dad. And she says, I'm of such and such a church. I had to bite my tongue. I didn't want to insult her. The having a membership or belonging to some religious organization does not save you. You could belong to 15 churches in the city of Winnipeg, and you are no closer to being in heaven than if you stayed home every Sunday. Or even if you didn't bother going to church on Christmas Day and Easter. It doesn't make any difference. Church membership doesn't save anybody. If that was true, Jesus Christ would have never gone to the cross, and we would be building more churches and less prisons. No. It is a relationship between Jesus Christ and you. I can't reach down and save you. It's personal. You have to come to the realization yourself and trust Christ. So we know that salvation is not found in a religion. It's not found in baptism. It's not found in the confession of your sins to a priest, because he's a sinner too. There's only one that can forgive sin, and he never sinned. Couldn't even think of sin. Absolutely perfect, through and through. A man approved of God. Salvation is found in a person of Jesus Christ. Acts 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This verse tells us that Jesus Christ is the sole source of salvation. That means that no other person, philosophy, or religious system can save us. His name further clarifies that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This highlights the exclusivity of Jesus' name and the power in it to grant salvation. Romans 10, verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This verse clearly emphasizes that salvation is not earned through good deeds or religious practice, but rather through faith in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the truth. He is the one that teaches truth because he is the truth. He is the embodiment of truth. Those who have Christ, they have the truth. It is not found anywhere else. John 8, verse 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus Christ is the life. He is the source of physical, spiritual, and eternal life. If you receive him, you have eternal life. Where are you now? Rita patiently waited 7 weeks to be rescued. You don't have to wait 7 minutes or 7 days, 7 hours. You can do it now. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Most of you who know me probably know that I like little combinations of words and so on and so forth. I got thinking about GPS. I'm going to leave this with you. God's perfect Son is God's perfect servant. He is God's perfect Savior. And everyone by faith can have God's pardon from sin. You don't need to go buy a GPS tonight, but you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Rita waited 7 weeks. How long are you going to wait? Don't wait. We are not promised. I've said this before. This book contains somewhere around 37,000 scriptures, verses. And there is not one verse that says, "You have tomorrow." And that's why the message of the gospel is, do it now. Procrastination is a terrible thing, especially when it comes to your precious soul. Don't wait 7 weeks. Don't wait 7 minutes. Do it now.